However, volcanic activity has never been reported on Mars before. But that means it has never been observed during the history of astronomical observation, which began approximately in the 17th century with the use of the telescope. Of course, it was never observed before. Our experimentation has caused it to occur now for the first time due to Earth's atomic explosions. Also, a huge grayish cloud, 60 miles high and 900 miles in diameter, was observed on Mars in January 1950. The only theory offered was that it was caused by an extremely violent explosion, possibly a volcano and volcanic ash cloud. Again, they said that such volcanic activity was unknown in Mars history. A worldwide observation was ordered, but no progress in understanding the phenomenon was made. It was originally observed by two Japanese scientists. Next headline, the 6th of August 1952. ZRS, might name. Transmitting. We will leave more definite information with you soon. Signing off at 9:30 p.m. the 9th of August 1952. I am Riga of Masar, Council Circle meets. You were assembled tonight. Aura is here. He is the planetary representative of Saturn. I must tell you a few things of interest. These true facts may even surprise you, but they are so. Many of your people on Earth know them to be true. Your sun, which is our sun also, is not a hot flaming body. It is a cool body. One of our great astronomers believed this and stated it. The so-called solar prominences are as cool as your aurora borealis, northern lights. You do not necessarily have to have heat just because you have light. Look at your firefly. You think your sun gives off great heat because you can feel it. Certain forces come from the sun, and when they enter the Earth's magnetic field, this resonating field causes friction. And from friction you get heat. There are other facts about the sun I cannot tell you now. In outer space the sun does not appear as bright as it does to you on Earth. Next headline, the 10th of August 1952. Na9 here and also ZRS. ZRS is from Uranus. All planets are inhabited. Many moons are inhabited also. Planets were created to sustain the life of a human race. Your scientists are planning on going into space in rocket ships. You may get to your moon, but not beyond that. Both of your moons, yes, you have two. One is the dark moon of Earth. You never see it because of certain conditions, or within your own magnetic field. If you try to leave field with rocket power or atomic power, you will be torn to pieces. Your first moon is not as far away as you think. Your scientists say that the mean distance between the centers of the Earth and Moon is 238,857 miles. Distortion is present, they are wrong. Your first moon has an atmosphere and water. Some of your scientists have observed snowstorms on the Moon. They have even seen meteors plunge through the Moon's atmosphere. There must be an atmosphere if they see them burn up. There are even inhabitants on the Moon. We have many bases of interplanetary nature there, also. At 12:13 p.m. Na9 again tried for a contact with us, but he claimed there was interference of some kind. Next headline, the 17th of August 1952, 8:25 p.m. IMZO. I am head of a Masa contact group, but my home is Neptune. I am going to Pluto soon. Pluto is not the cold, dreary world your astronomers picture it to be. Mercury is not a hot, dry world, either. If you understood magnetism, you would then see why all planets have almost the same temperatures regardless of distance from great sun body. Sister rights are universal rights. They are rotting. Earth is backward, too many wars. Peace to all men everywhere. Riga speaking. Please put water on your stove to boil. It will help our contacting you at this time. Zo again. To Apple's result, we return. You may not understand this strange saying now, but someday you will. It is from one of our old prophecy legends. Rights will save your people. We are here to warn you. If there is dissension amongst you, we will not contact you. Be calm and quiet. We have only love for all men. We hold certain councils on Uranus. We must now decide what to do about your planet Earth. Your bombs will destroy universal balance. Your hydrogen bomb could make an asteroid belt out of you. This happened many years ago to planet of the fifth orbit. We knew what they were doing, but we didn't interfere. We cannot stand by and see another waste. After their destruction, there were terrible disasters on Massa. Great volcanic eruptions took place. Many of our people perished. We would have been thrown out of the solar system and lost if we had not quickly constructed two artificial satellites. Some of your scientists have noticed that Phobos and Deimos reflect too much light to be made of earthy substance. They are right. They are metallic in nature. They readjusted our unstable condition and saved a planet. It is true that the ancient poets knew of the satellites of Mars before their discovery, and ancient astrological works mention them. Jonathan Swift in our Gulliver's Travels, A 1726, wrote that Mars had two satellites, and his complete description of them was most accurate. They were actually discovered as late as 1877 by Asaph Hall of the Naval Observatory in Washington. How did Swift and all these other individuals know that Mars had two moons? It seems strange indeed, and one can only make guesses. Tuka of Pluto speaking, sister towers interfere with our contact with you. Turn on your portable radio here in kitchen. You will hear us. This didn't make much sense to any of us. How could we hear them on a simple portable radio? And did they mean that the new radio station at Winslow, Arizona, was interfering? Riga, Friday, and every day we will try radio. We wait. Try to listen for us, and get a better radio, a more powerful set. Go to see Mr. R, a radioman. He will be all right if spoken to right. Tell him the truth, that you heard that if the sources are from space they might be contacted by the radio. It is most important that you contact us by this means. That is what we meant before when we told you to contact us as soon as possible. Contact between 340 KC and 400 KC. Get a telescope, if you can. It will be a sin to witness the bombs. Listen to the radio signals we are now giving to you. Bell Flight 8 is to Arizona. We eat. But go look for a radio set. We are happy. Try 400 KC. We may even talk to you. Go in your car to the railroad station. Ask there about someone who might have a radio set. Listen to us. We will be over Winslow the 22nd of August 1952, 7 miles altitude. A staff member at Lowell Observatory, Flagstaff, Arizona, reported to a friend of ours that on the 22nd of August 1952 they would focus the large telescope for terrestrial observation over Winslow, but did not say what they were looking for or why. No mention was made of the source of information that caused this observation to be made. We thought this strange, indeed. Why would they be interested in something in our skies the very night Riga had told us they would be over Winslow? We followed our instructions and went to the railroad station. We asked the telegraph operator on duty if he knew of a ham operator who might cooperate with us. He gave us the name of a well-known licensed operator. We talked to him over the phone and asked him to listen on his receiver to 400 KC and see what he could hear. We waited while he went to his set. Finally, he came back to the phone and said, "Some crazy guy is sending a series of V's, that's all." We thanked him for his help and cooperation and hung up. We then returned to the apartment, and when we turned on the portable kitchen radio, turned down as far as we could go, we did hear a sense repeated several times. One of us knew CQ in code, so we asked them to send that over the radio if it was truly them. And sure enough, CQ was immediately forthcoming. This was truly amazing. We could hardly believe what was taking place. But with their superior equipment, this was understandable. We decided to continue with our crude board. Zoe speaking, I am on Bell Flight 8 at 50 miles altitude. We promise to transmit on 340 KC to 405 KC with International Morse code the 22nd of August 1952 at 7 miles altitude. We wondered if Lowell Observatory's information source was as strange as ours. and were they instructed to look at the skies on the 22nd of August 1952 as we were instructed to listen on this date? Now we were really excited. Was it actually true? Would we really hear men of other worlds over Mr. R's receiver? Would they answer our many questions, and what message did they have for Sarah's? It seemed they did not want to give too much information over the board. We now know that by establishing contact with us on radio they knew we would accept what they said. They knew that the board messages did not prove their existence positively. No matter how startling the information was, they knew the materialistic phenomenon of code would go far in establishing their absolute identity. Someone had said we were in communication with low-grade spirits, and that these spirits were having a good time by telling us weird lies. But we knew that spirits would not tell us to go to a radio set, for they would be cutting off their only means of communication with us. We felt sure these spirits couldn't use a radio transmitter and send us messages in international Morse code. Other source research groups had suggested systems of colored lights to attract spacecraft, but we agreed with our newly found friends from space that radio was by far the best method of contact. And what would it lead to? A personal face-to-face contact with men of other planets? We dared not have such high hopes, but we wondered. Here at last would be positive proof that the flying saucers were interplanetary craft. It seemed hardly possible that by the use of a simple parlor trick, we had contacted other intelligent universal individuals. On the 22nd of August 1952 the strangest and the most wonderful adventure of our life began. Next headline, Part 6, Radio Diary. In our endeavor to establish radio contact with the flying saucers or other spacecraft, a radioman whom we called Mr. R was contacted by Al. This man had a great deal of experience in his field and held a commercial license as well as an amateur ham license. Mr. R was skeptical, but quite willing to try a contact. Arrangements were at once made to listen on Friday evening, the 22nd of August 1952. All messages received by radio telegraphy will be capitalized throughout this diary. All other messages, from the board, etc., will be in small letters enclosed within quotation marks. On the evening of the 22nd of August 1952, Mr. R saw what he thought was a very small meteor display over Winslow, Arizona. He also observed what appeared to be a very bright light traveling at a high altitude in the sky above him. He turned on his receiver to 400 kc, and many strange signals were heard but not identified. Al, Mr. and Mrs. R were in the R's kitchen later when they all suddenly heard strange, clear code signals coming to them. They all thought it must be coming from the radio shack in the backyard, but when they went to check, there was nothing to be heard there. After they came back to the kitchen, the mysterious code was heard again. It seemed to be coming from the very air itself. About 2 a.m., the 23rd of August 1952 code signals were again received. Mr. R said it sounded as though two people were talking back and forth to each other using code. However, he said it was a code unfamiliar to him. He couldn't make any sense out of it at all. This strange code used a system of dots and dashes. After all, what else could be devised? It seemed there were more of these dots and dashes used for each letter or symbol than are used in our standard international Morse code. Mr. R had his pencil and pad before him, and he hoped he might be able to make some sense out of the code coming over his receiver in loud, clear tones. Then he suddenly wrote down Zo, and in a few minutes, after he turned and asked Al if those words meant anything to him. At this time, the name Zo was very understandable, but the name Afa was not. Nothing else was heard of an identifiable nature. The 23rd of August 1952, 5.18 p.m. Rigger speaking. You made contact with us on radio yesterday. I think Lowell Observatory saw us. This is Zo. It wasn't altogether our fault that we didn't make a good contact last night. Afa was talking to me last night. He helps us in many ways. Soon there will be another contact. You have already had good contact with us. Be patient. Afa is from the planet Uranus. He was listening in last night. Be careful. 40-meter band is all right. We will do our best on radio contact. Alpha of Uranus tries to keep us from talking to you. Uranus doesn't believe in too much contact with the Earth planet. Alpha told me not to let you hear us, but I arranged it so you could hear something. He interfered then, but helps otherwise. He was afraid of Lowell Observatory. The big eyes were looking at us, and they are doing special work up there on the mountain now. They have installed certain types of electronic equipment. California, earthquake was caused by your planet's magnetic disturbances. We must tell you about Orion. Many the wish to conquer universe. We are here to warn you of this also. However, we find few receptive persons on Ceres. You are helping us now by what you are doing. Narnine speaking. The Orion solar systems are much like Ceres. The principles of good and evil are universal. Ceres is the lowest in progression in your solar system, but there are planets in the creation that are above you and below you in state of progression. There is no beginning or end, no big nor small, no low nor higher state. We are all on the road to all perfection. We must tell you that Orion is coming soon to Ceres in a square star body. The year of decision is soon to come to you. We will be seen by more and more people in 1953. We want to land and you can be of help to us. Will you? We are happy. Be patient, for you were lucky you even heard us on the radio the other night. Alpha is afraid Ceres is too evil. You wonder how long our space flights take us. It takes only a few minutes to go from Massa to Ceres. We do not fly as you think of flying, but we drift or glide on magnetic lines of force. We need no fuel. We operate in a resonating electromagnetic field just like planetary bodies do. Now we are hungry as you are. Sometimes on Neptune we eat mucka. They are similar to your cattle, but they do not have horns and they have very big ears. This is Zoo. It is now 8 p.m. your time. Gar of Pluto is on Saturn. Bell Flight 9 could be sooner than 1956 to Ceres. It all depends on future conditions. Riga, be tactful in regards to everything you do. Remember you are dealing with Ceres. We join you, it's us. Mr. R must dry. Important now, perhaps only chance. We will tell you more by radio. A landing can be arranged. Our superiors must decide. Fate of all creation here depends on it. We all wondered what our brothers from other planets looked like and they gave us some information. However, they are usually reluctant to speak of themselves, for they feel that they are here to serve and there are many other important services to be rendered at this time. Apostrophe This is Zo again. I am 5 feet 7 inches tall, and I weigh 148 pounds. I have auburn hair. I am what you would call 25 years old. I am married. I have 7 children. We have marriage mates from birth. But you shall see us for yourself someday. We want to give you a code so that we can locate you on radio. Please have Mr. R transmit EU. We will then transmit DA. EU equals Ceres and DA equals outer space contact. Mr. R knows more than he tells. He has tried to contact us for about 2 years now. He never succeeded, however. He tried too high and the time was not right yet. We do have a good life where we are. But wait to ask about that. One of you is interested in our musical instruments. Yes, we do have them. We call them toners. Mr. R is fine. He is interested in us. We will be on your first moon tonight. By the way, the craters on your moon were not caused by meteors nor were they caused by volcanic action. They came about by vortical motion. Use radio. We must contact you. Try 40-meter band to transmit. Receive on 405 KC. The bands may vary at times, but keep trying. Keep listening. This is a member of Massar Flight speaking. Saturn Tribunal has given permission for a possible landing. Uranus has to be won over in Universal Tribunal. Saturn is the seat of justice, but not justice as you know it. Orion systems want to destroy. You have more than 9 planets in your solar system. Patras is next beyond Pluto, and there are 12 all told. Zo again. I will be staying at base on first moon tonight. We usually take no women on our survey or scientific trips. There are several types of spacecraft. One is a scout craft holding one or two men that appears to fly upside down and has an antenna-like projection on the bottom. Another is an arrow-shaped or crescent-shaped craft. It is a master craft, for it will guide many crystal bells in mass flight formation. Then there is the mothership that you call a cigar-shaped craft. These latter can be many miles in length and send out the green fireballs to explode. Then photographs of the magnetic fault lines can be taken. You would be astonished if you knew what these fireballs really were. They are not the same as your remote-controlled devices. Most bells do not travel between planets, for they are carried within the mother ships. There are ships that look like tubes, craft that are round with an opening in the center, and triangular-shaped craft. Some of these ships have a high-intensity field and others have a low-intensity field. The flatter the form, the more intense the field of the craft. The small disks a few inches in diameter are in the fireball class, although they are not all used for the same purposes. SARAS is like a spaceship. We operate the same way. Look and listen. We know what life is. There is no death, for all life is eternal. Peoples of SARAS are afraid of death. But it should be a time of rejoicing, for a soul has gone on to greater progressions. Pray for the salvation of creation. Good night, my beloved friends. This message from Zo gave all of us a warm, friendly feeling. A stronger bond existed after this night between those above and us. We were amazed at the high intelligence of Zo. He was, indeed, a very fine young man. We knew that we no longer needed to fear these space intelligences. Although we hadn't actually feared them, we nevertheless had been aware of the unknown. What would we discover? Would it be beautiful or would it be horrible? Now we knew. On the other planets of our solar system there was beauty. On SARAS there was horror. The 24th of August 1952, 11:40 a.m. This is Actar of Mercury speaking. We are the radio center for this solar system because of our nearness to Great Sunday. We are now on your first moon. Zo is here, also. Did you know that your blue sky of Earth is due to the resonating electromagnetic field? It is the reason your stars twinkle near the horizon and give off so many colors. Your scientists do not know what causes this. Some on SARAS know what CHINVAT is. Your scientists claim that the solar system had its beginning in a big cloud of gas and dust. They call this the nebula hypothesis. Others speak of the planetesimal theory, where the Sun was supposed to have come closer to another star. But they do not agree on any of these ideas. They must honestly admit that they do not know how the Earth and the other planets came into being. Did you know that comets are really planets? However, planets are made like a snowball rolling down a mountain, and they get bigger and bigger. Zo speaking, we can't be sure of contacts ahead of time. Listen at 405 KC, 40 meters, EU answer back. We want to be sure of everything before we land. Look for others to help our landing. Cosmicians, right? Now. Uranus will agree to plans if all parties are in complete cooperation. We just had a meeting and decided. Radio contact is good, but this method, the board, is not very satisfactory. On your regular radio there is too much of sordid life, just like SARAS. One of our wives said that she liked the soap operas on radio, and the answer was, pooh, Earthians don't think. That's why they are in such a mess now. Check. Patras number 10 QM interfering. We will clear airwaves, wait. Back on the moon at 12:30 PM many times, the facts told us by our contacts, were later confirmed. Upon questioning, Mr. R did admit that he had become very interested in the possibility of interstellar communication after he read an article on this subject in QST, one of the amateur ham radio magazines. He said he had attempted some sort of contact on a high frequency and a short wavelength. A friend of Mr. R, a man high up in radio circles, told him that he had also received strange signals at various times and definitely believed it to be from space intelligences. One day this friend called Mr. R and told him that Lowell Observatory did see the saucers on Friday, the 22nd of August 1952. This confirmed what Zo had told us before. On the 2nd of August 1952 they had told us they had been seen over Southern California. The newspapers of the next day told us exactly the same thing. We learned later that a young man in Los Angeles, California, had made a personal contact with the sources on the same day, the 2nd of August 1952. The space friends were really working hard at this time. It seemed sightings were being made everywhere. Perhaps they were going all out on their Project Saras, trying to find receptive minds. Next headline, the 25th of August 1952, 9:25 p.m. Another attempt was made to establish a more lasting contact with our space friends. We were in the radio shack at Mr. R's. He transmitted EU so they could locate him. Almost immediately a very loud signal came in on the receiver. This AFA. Swap to 450 KC. Mr. R quickly changed from 405 KC to the requested 450 KC. At first we did not know what he was receiving after the switch, for he suddenly jumped up from his seat, almost ran through the closed door, and dashed outside. He was very excited and called to us to come out quickly. He had climbed tip on top of his ham shack and was scanning the sky. We asked him what the message was. After he told us, we understood the exuberance of his action. He had received, "Coming in. Coming in. Coming in." Mr. R thought they meant they were coming in close to Earth and he wanted to get a view of them if possible. We looked and looked but saw nothing. Then, as we all stood on top of the shack, we heard another message coming in over the receiver. We were very quiet so Mr. R could hear the code. This time it was, "Look for a dark spot in there, SKY. Look for a dark spot in the SKY. Look for a dark spot in the SKY." Then we all saw a strange, dark object towards the south in the Milky Way. This object stayed in that position for some time, but it was gone at the end of an hour. While we were still outside, another message came in, but it was not as loud as the others and it faded out to such an extent that Mr. R did not receive all of it. To US another time when the last message was signed off with, DADAKDA. We decided at once to try the board. Perhaps we could obtain more information from its use. "This is ZU. Look for us in the west. You will see a steady blue light. The dark spot in the sky was AFA. Keep trying radio. The name of my mate, wife, is She is from Massa. There is a solar system with the name 22. This is because there are 22 planets. Ilala is the name of planet 15. We looked for the blue light in the west and did see it. It was gone in about 20 minutes. Riga of Massa. We wish to clear up certain things. These are things you have been wondering about. You wonder if we have advanced in medical science. We have not. We have no disease. Disease-ridden bodies are caused by man's wrong living. We are ahead of you in development. You Earth people are always thinking in terms of years. But in your years we are many thousands of years ahead of you. Venus is farther ahead yet, and other planets even more so. We of Massa are next to you in progression. We have slight change in seasons, the other worlds have perfect weather at all times. We have great powers. But we have not destroyed each other because we have followed the Infinite Father. You have not. Yes, you have many churches and seem to worship what you call God. But you worship by word, not by deed. You say, peace is for the strong. Your holy book tells you, the meek shall inherit the earth. Thou shalt not kill, yet you kill. One came and said to you, turn the other cheek. But you do not. Your government contacted us a few years ago. They would like to know our secrets, but they never will, no matter how hard they try. The radio contact we were now receiving was the great turning point in our research. Now we knew for sure that we were in contact with men from outer space. We were practically unknown so far as the world was concerned, but they were willing to contact us because we desired to know more about them. We wanted to listen and find out if they knew the answer to what the entire world was asking: can world peace be a reality? The ones that should have been listening were interested only in discovering the secret of saucer propulsion. In all publications one could only find poor reasoning and logic, as one so-called authority would ridicule another. The government itself was contradictory in its statements. There seemed to be much confusion in high places.